परमानंद माधव श्री चैतन्य ईश्वर And you have to be disappointed that this great Sadishyam is not giving class today. And you will be doubly disappointed because I am giving. Because I just gave a few days ago, but Sadishyam told me to give me. And I'll be there for almost a month after this. So today, we are in the middle of one of the sections of the Bhagavatam which devotees love to skip. There are some sections which devotees love to read. And some sections we devotees love to skip. So these are some of the technical sections. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instructions on, we can call it avatar science, systematic analysis of the various avatars. This is another new song. There are a lot of chapters, right from chapter 19 in the Madhya Lila to chapter 24. Chapter 19, Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Rupa Goswami. Chapter 20, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sanatana Goswami. And interestingly, Kalidasa Goswami describes in such a way that apparently Rupa Goswami's instructions end within one chapter only. And Sanatana Goswami's instructions, which go on for 2 months, they extend in the Chaitanya Charitamrita over 5 chapters. So, chapter 21 talks about the opulence and the sweetness of Krishna, the Aishwarya and the Madhurya. And then it talks about, so after explaining Sambandha, what is the ultimate goal? It's worshipful Lord Sri Krishna. Then it describes that chapter 22 is the process of devotional service. Chapter 23 is love of Godhead, the ultimate goal of life. And then chapter 24 is the 61 explanations of the Atmaram verse. So in this, actually in chapter 21, there's a lot of description of the different kinds of avatars. And interestingly, there is a book on avatar science, you can say. But it is written not by Sanatana Goswami, but by Rupa Goswami. It is called as Laghu Bhagavatam. And if you look at the corpus of literature that we have available with us from the Goswamis, actually Rupa Goswami has written much more than what Sanatana Goswami has written. Although apparently Rupa Goswami was instructed only for 10 days and Sanatana Goswami for 2 months. So, the subsequent Vaishnava Acharya explained that actually when the Goswamis wrote books, it was not in isolation. All the books were a teamwork. In fact, for example, we have Sanatana Goswami has written Haribhakta Vilas, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami has edited that further, and he has made it into the Vaishnava Smriti. Sometimes Hari Bhakta Vilas ascribed to both of them. So, in the Satsandarbhas, when Jiva Goswami is describing the Satsandarbhas, he's offering the obeisances. So, he offers obeisances to Lord Krishna, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, too, he says, my spiritual master Rupa Goswami. He was initiated by him. And then he says, actually, much of this book was written by a certain Bhatta from South India. And I am very grateful to him for it. He doesn't mention the name Gopal Bhatta over there. Just mentioned mysteriously, a certain Bhatta from South India. Because there could be many reasons. One of the reasons is that Gopal Bhatta was apparently from Shri Sampradaya. And you know, he is establishing truths of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. So he keeps it a little anonymous. A certain Bhatta helped me also. So all the works of the Goswamis were actually team works. So all of them will go to each other manuscripts and they discuss and refine and edit. A lot of hard work went into each one of the books. So in the Laghu Bhagavatam, this section of the Bhagavatam is used as a basis for explaining the various avatars. So as we know, there are 6 kinds of avatars. And in this particular section, we are talking about one category of avatars called as the Purusha avatars. So now we have to understand that whenever we classify, no classification is watertight. Because the reality is always integrated and holistic. If you, for example, if we say, okay, this is morning, this is afternoon, this is evening. Now, when does morning end and when does afternoon start? Can you have a precise minute when you decide that? Or is it it's a dawn, from dawn to morning? So, you know, most of us have inherited the modern Western way of thinking, which tries to categorize things. This is like this, this is like this, this is like this. But reality is not just analytical, it is also synthetic. So that's why, although this classification of the avatars is given, it's not that it's an avatar is only this and not this. Certain avatars, so I'll just tell the six avatars. First, we have the Purusha avatars. That's what Prabhupada mentioned in this purport. The Purusha is a very important concept in Sankhya. Sankhya we have Purusha and Prakriti. And Prakriti is material nature. And material nature cannot be activated without the Purusha. So, material nature manifests at different levels. So, material nature manifests at the level of the Mahatattva. So, at that level of Prakriti's manifestation, just like for every manifestation of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, we have one corresponding manifestation of the Devi Tattva. Now, for Krishna, there is Radharani. For Narayan, there is Lakshmi. For Lord Ramchandra, there is Sita. So, like that, now this material nature is a manifestation of expansion of Shrimati Radharani. In Bala, in Tirupati Balaji, we have actually Lord Balaji has two concepts. One is Sri Devi and the other is Bhudevi. So Sri Devi represents the spiritual potency and Bhudevi represents the material potency. So both are concepts of the Lord. So every level of material nature is considered to be a manifestation of the concept of the Lord. So the material nature manifests as the Mahat Tattva. At that time, the Purusha avatar is manifested corresponding to her is Mahavishnu. So, sometimes Mahavishnu is the super soul of the Mahatattva. And then, the material nature manifests as each individual universe. The super soul manifests as, the Supreme Lord manifests as Garbhodakshayashi. And then, material nature manifests as our individual bodies. You know, every one of our bodies, actually it's manifestation of material nature. And that's why, in the Vedic culture, there are tangible realities and there are also subtler means of those realities. So, you know, even the human body is compared to a temple. And just as in a temple, the Lord is Sanctum Sanctorum and the whole temple structure is considered to be sacred. In fact, it is considered either to be manifestation of Balaramji or Radharani. So it is manifestation of the internal potency. So like that, the Lord is residing in the heart and the body is considered to be sacred. So the body is also manifestation ultimately of the material nature, which is manifestation of Shri Devi. So for this body, we think at one level of ignorance, I am the body. This is my body. But both are wrong. Aham and Mam. Actually, we and this body both belong to the Supreme Lord. So, this body is actually a manifestation of Mother Nature. It comes from Mother Nature through our biological mother. So, and the form of the Lord manifests as a consort for this body is Shiva. So, in this way, the Lord manifests at every level of creation. And when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge. So, the word dharma has a very profound meaning. It's not just religious duty. It's not just the irreducible nature of a living, object. Dharma is the underlying order that makes things the way they are. So, dharma is the system of order and harmony by which everything is governed and maintained. So actually the dharma of material nature is maintained by the presence of the Supreme Lord within it. So when it comes to dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge, so that refers to his incarnations which manifest in this world to our vision. But when those incarnations are not manifesting, it is not that the Lord is abandoned this world. The Lord is there in this world, even at those times, and He is present as the Supreme Lord, who is underlying material nature, who is. So, actually, material nature originates from Krishna, is sustained by Krishna, is controlled by Krishna, and is meant for the service of Krishna. It originates from Krishna. It is and permeated. Krishna is present within it. And Krishna is present within it, He is not just sleeping. He is maintaining it. And it is ultimately meant for His service. So that's why the material nature has a very intimate relationship with the Lord. And that's what is the important point, which is to be driven home through this whole technical discussion. Shri Krishna also in the Bhagavad Gita in 4.7 and 8, he talks about how He comes to re-establish order. But even after He re-establishes order, there is going to be disorder in this world. So the real purpose why the Lord comes in this world is given in the next verse, 4.9. He comes for what purpose? To attract us back. Janma kalva chale divyam devam yoveti tatvata tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjuna. So in India most people quote sambhavami yuge yuge. The Prabhupada quotes that, Prabhupada quotes janma kalva chale divyam much more. Sambhavami, see there are two verses in the Bhagavad Gita which are quoted very often by people. One is karmanne vadhikarasa. There are two verses from the Bhagavad Gita used to defy the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. Karmanne vadhikaraste means, oh, I just have to do my work. I don't have to surrender to God. Just do your work. Don't bring God into the picture. Just do your work. Karmanne vadhikaraste. So, I just do my work. I don't have to surrender to God. So, this is used by people who want to avoid God. Sambhavami yuge yuge is used by people who want to claim I am God. Yes. God keeps coming all the time, so in this you have come. Sambhavami yuge. It's a favorite verse for God claimers. So, these two verses, actually even they don't even quote the full verse. They just quote the one fourth of a verse. You know, our acharyas talk about half-hand logic. This is quarter-hand logic. So, but Prabhupada, if you look at Dharidas, Prabhupada quote Janma Karma Chale Devam much more. Because Krishna comes in this world to establish order. But what is the ultimate purpose of that order? It is not to have this world harmonious and happy, because it can never be harmonious and happy. Whenever we want to evaluate design, the design has to be evaluated in connection with the purpose. Many times, the theists and the atheists have a big argument. The theists say, God has provided so much in this world. No, God provides rains, grains, and air, and land, everything, each body, everything, how can you not believe in God? And the atheist said, there is so much wrong in this world, there are floods, there are tsunamis, there are earthquakes. Now where is God? So both of them are trying to evaluate whether the design is sound without taking into consideration the purpose of the design. Just like, you know, if I have a mobile. Now in a mobile, I can type some messages. But if I decide I want to type my next book on my mobile, and I start typing, I can't, what a useless mobile. They don't know how to make a mobile, they're not designed it properly, it's so troublesome to type it. You know, I take a mobile and I curse the mobile. But the mobile is not meant for typing a book. The mobile is meant primarily for communication. And occasional typing can be used. So, you know, any design if we take, if we disconnect it from its purpose, we can fault the design. Any design, if we disconnect it from the purpose, it's very easy to critique the design. And that is why Pratyaksha and Anuman are inconclusive with respect to proving the existence of God. Because, you know, theists can give reasoning. They can give, see, there is so much order in design. And atheists can give so much argument, see, there is so much chaos. Because Pratyaksha and Anuman cannot tell us the purpose of the design. The purpose of the design has to be known to Shakta. So it is only, so that's why, you know, there are two kinds of theology in Western philosophy. They call it rational theology and revelational theology. Rational theology means by our own logic and reason, we try to prove the existence of God. It's based on rationality. which is good. Many people have a lot of faith in logic and reason. So if by logic and reason, if we try to prove the existence of God, then it's good. But, you know, just as water can float a ship, the same water can sink a ship. So like that, rationality and logic can prove the existence of God. And rationality and logic, if an atheist is very adept at playing games in logic, can be used to disprove the existence of God. Why? Because rational theology cannot tell us the purpose of the reason. So, we take any physics, and these two are undeniable facts of creation, that there is design in this world. Even the hardline atheists, they cannot deny that there is design. But they say the design has come, not by a designer, but by a chance and natural selection. But they say there is design. So on one side, we have to accept the fact that the design is wrong. On the other side, we can also not deny that there is suffering in this world. So normally, when we think of design, we think of design as something which should be very comfortable and conducive for us. And that's why when people see suffering in this world, often people lose faith in God. So, but we have to see, could design and suffering be integrated together for some higher purpose of the design? Do we see design and suffering together somewhere in this world? We see that in a hospital. In a hospital, everything is well designed. Now, there are precise machines for doing certain things. There are all the people following precise protocols. There are well-planned schedules for everything to happen. And despite all the design and planning, practically everybody is suffering. So, design and suffering can go together in a hospital. So, just because the patient is suffering in a hospital, does not mean that the hospital is not designed. So, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, or Krishnadasa Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when we want to understand spiritual truth through material analogies, it is basically like Shakha Chandra Nyaya. Shakha Chandra Nyaya means a small child is always used to look at the ground level. And he says, I want to see the moon. Where is the moon? See the moon. He's not used to looking up only. So, like that, if a conditioned soul is fixed always in thinking in terms of sense gratification. And whenever you want to think of anything good or bad, it's always in terms of sense gratification. And therefore, oh, the weather today is very good. Why? It's good for what? Good for sense gratification. The weather is very bad. Why is it bad? It's bad for sense gratification. So, you know, we are just used to thinking, let's say childhood is not used to looking up, we are used to always evaluating things in terms of, in one dimension, in terms of sense gratification. So, then the teacher wants to show the child the moon. What does he do? Can you see this tree? It's a trunk? Yes. Look up. Can you see that branch? Yeah, the branch is there. Okay. Now, can you see another branch going downwards? Yes. Now, can you see a shining object in between the two? Yes. That is the moon. Oh, I saw the moon. Now, I saw the moon. What are you doing? The child starts running. He says, I'm going to climb on the tree and catch the moon. You see, you're trying to climb on the tree. Because the moon is not there. You told me the moon is there in between. It's not there in between. So, actually, for all realistic purposes, there is no connection between the tree's branches and the moon. But the connection is established for the child to get some understanding of it. So, like that, no material analogy can fully establish any spiritual truth. But it gives us some understanding of the truth. So, no material analogy is descriptive of the spiritual truth, but it is indicative of the spiritual truth. So one analogy which we could use is that of a hospital. The another analogy that we could use is that of a jail. In a jail also, everything is designed. That is designed very well. But at the same time, there is suffering. So now, the jail analogy, every analogy has a particular purpose. And again, other than design has a particular purpose, only analogy has a particular purpose. So the jail analogy conveys that it is we who have done something wrong, and because of that, we are put here in the jail. But the jail analogy does not talk anything about the compassion of God. it just talks about the legislation of God, the justice aspect of God that is punishing those who are wrong. So the hospital aspect talks about God as the doctor. So God is not just a jail warden who is punishing the people who are in jail. God is like a doctor who is trying to help us. So what is the actual reality? Is this world like a jail? Is it like a hospital? Cannot catch it in any one of them. So, but the Lord is present in this world. So whenever we talk about design, it has to be always in connection with the purpose. And that is one of the fundamental teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam also clearly says this world is the Kali Shashvatam. So now, why would the Lord make this world, if he has to make a design, can he not make it happy? This Dukkhale Shashvatam, because Dukkhale serves a particular purpose. That is, to get us, to prompt us to come out of this world. To prompt us to turn towards him and to return back. So, when we see an apparent fault in a design, then we have to understand the fault is not in the design, the fault is in my understanding of the purpose of the design. So, this is very important for our life as yogis also. Sometimes we may practice in spiritual life, and he says, everything is going wrong in my life. I am trying to serve Krishna, but you know, my boss is creating so much trouble, and my family members are creating so much trouble, my health is going down, my mind is going crazy. Why is Krishna creating so many problems? And you feel like that. Now, what we are thinking is that I can have a very peaceful, cozy life in Krishna consciousness. But, you know, if you are peaceful and cozy, it's very unlikely that we will be Krishna conscious. So Krishna's purpose is, yes, Krishna doesn't want necessarily to create misery in our life. But Krishna wants us to be Krishna conscious. And sometimes it is necessary to disrupt our peace and comfort so that we become Krishna conscious. That's why whenever we see something is going wrong, we have to understand that there is some presumption which we are making about what the purpose of life is and how things should be going. So we should not blame the design. We should blame our incorrect understanding of the purpose. So this is Bhagavatam also. You see, throughout the Bhagavatam, so many great devotees have so much suffering coming up in their lives. But that suffering, as we know, it makes them take shelter of Krishna deeper and it helps them. It's such a glorious example for all of us to be inspired by. So the Purusha Avatara sustain this world. But they sustain this world not so that we can live comfortably in this world, but that we can go out of this world. So out of the six avatars, two avatars are concerned with the maintenance of the world. Or we can say three avatars. Purusha avatara, the Guna avatara, and the Manvantara avatara. So the Guna avatara are Vishnu, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. So they are also concerned with the maintenance of the order. So actually, the Brahma, some Puranas claim that Brahma is supreme, some Puranas claim that Shiva is supreme. But actually, creation and destruction, if they are the only things that are going on, then there will be nothing maintained. So, the balance between creation and maintenance is maintained by Vishnu. And that's why Vishnu's role is most important, even in the material world. You know, if something is created, next moment it is destroyed. Created, next moment it is destroyed. There is no maintenance left. In our body also cells are being created and are being destroyed. Now there is a lifespan which they have. And if the cells did not have a lifespan, we would not have a lifespan. So therefore, yes, creation and destruction are important. But the most important function is maintenance. And that is what Vishnu, like Sattvaguni Guna Avatar does. So the Guna, the Purusha Avataras and the Guna Avataras, they maintain the existence. Now the Manvantara avatara are talked about in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam especially, where every Manu is described, and during his time the Manvantara avatara comes. And generally they also dharma samsthapana arthaya sambhavani yuge. So they also come and they immediately establish wherever there is some disorder, some demons are coming, then they come and attack. And for example, the Ishopanishad is a prayer which is offered by Svayambhuva Manu, the Supreme Lord, coming a jalki, and when he is offering these prayers, suddenly demons come and attack him and want to eat him up. And then Yajna comes associated with the demon and rescues for a woman. So they are Manvantara avataras. So the Manvantara avataras come within each Manu's life once. So like that there are 14 Manvantaras in one day of Brahma. So 14 times the Lord comes. apart from that, there are the Yuga Avataras. The Yuga Avataras come to teach the Yuga Dharma. The Yuga Dharma is a process by which we can become purified and we can return back. Now, contrary to popular understanding, Krishna and Ram are not Yuga Avataras. Because the physical Krishna came in, Dvapara Paricharya. So, how much does Bhagavad Gita talk about deity worship? When did Krishna actually teach anybody of deity worship? Well, there are some mentions in Bhagavad Gita, in the Buddha Gita, in the 11th canto, 98th chapter, the one chapter about deity worship. Krishna is not a Yuga Dharma. The Yuga Avatars are described in the 11th canto. There are avatars of different complexions which come. Krishna and Ram are the Lila Avatars. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's at the beginning I started by saying, these are not water type. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is both a Yuga Avatar and a Lila Avatar. It's not that, you know, the Lila Avataras don't give any instruction. They also give instructions. And not the Yuga Avatars don't perform any Lilas. In fact, everything that the Lord does is a Lila. But when you talk about Lila, you know, especially the Lila that attract the hearts of the conditioned souls back to the Supreme Lord, and they want to participate in that Lila. So, among all the avatars of the Lord, Rupa Goswami in the Bhagavatam explains that Krishna is the highest. And because Krishna is Purna Purushottama. Is Purna Purushottama. In fact, the Bhagavatam in that very important verse 1.2.11, Krishna is established by Bhagavatam as Advaya Jnana Tattva. Non-dual principle of knowledge, non-dual truth of knowledge. But the Vaishnavacharya explained that, Gaudiya Vaishnavacharya explained that Krishna is not just Advaya Jnana Tattva, he is also Advaya Rasa. He is Advaya Rasa Tattva. That means he is Rasa Raj. As Rupa Goswami starts the Bhakti Sam Sundu by saying, he is Akhila Rasamrita Bodhi. It's the form of all bliss. So, Krishna performs unlimited sweet pastimes by which the devotees can become attracted to him. And so he says, Krishna is the highest of all the avatars. So, according to Vishnu Purana, he said, to differentiate between any of the avatars or any of the forms of Vishnu is a hellish mentality. Just as it's offensive to consider the spiritual deity to be ordinary stone like that, then to differentiate between any of the forms of Vishnu is a hellish mentality. Now our acharya is agreed with him. Goswami acknowledges that point. But he says this is with respect to tattva. If we say by tattva, one form is higher, one form is lower, that is wrong. Because all of them are Supreme Lord. But with respect to rasa, there is a difference. So now Krishna is the highest. Of course, along with Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Krishna, Radha, Krishna, Anandi. Then there are, at the lower level, there are all the Vishnu Murtis. And in between, he said, are certain incarnations, which are called as the Paravastha avatars. Paravastha is transcendental situated. Astha means situated. So he says, these are two incarnations. Narasimha Dev and Ramachandra. So these two incarnations, they exhibit very special Gita. In which the Bhakta Vatsalya of the Lord is very sweetly manifested. And this is how they attract the Lord. So, Vamana, Varaha, Matsya, they also perform wonderful pastimes. But they don't have so much direct one-to-one reciprocation with some devotees. Matsya is so big.
How do you offer prayers? Of course, the Lord will accept prayers, however, in whatever form he comes in.
But Prabhupada explains that, you know, God is great. You can say, yes, God is great. But if you say the sky is also great, can you allow the sky? Can you offer prayers? Can you have personal reciprocation in the sky? So the Lord manifests in human-like forms so that we can offer love to Him. So that's why Nalila Kevalyam, the Vedanta says. That actually, in order for us to reciprocate love with the Lord manifests in a two-handed form. Actually, to say that the Lord manifests in a human-like form is incorrect. Because we are assuming that our form is the prototype and Lord manifests in a human-like form. Actually, the Lord has the original two-handed form and He has given us a form like His. So, when the Lord manifests in a two-handed original form, that form is the form which reciprocates most naturally with the devotees. So, among Narasimha and Ramachandra also, Lord Ram, there is very special reciprocation between Him and His devotees. So these are the Leela avatars. So they perform very sweet pastimes by which the conditioned soul becomes attracted to the Supreme Lord. So now Krishna in this verse, actually this verse is a sutra. Janma karma chame divyam evam yovedita prodaha. So janma karma refers to the pastimes. And tattvataha, this refers to the philosophy. So actually when you have to understand Krishna, when will you become attracted to him? When there is a proper integration of philosophy and pastimes. You know, actually without philosophy, when we hear the pastimes are merely amusing. With philosophy, when we hear the pastimes are amazing. What is the difference between amusing and amazing? Amusing means it's just some simple entertainment. Some playful entertainment, yes. Now, for example, we have these little Krishna videos coming up. Very beautifully done. And they are becoming quite popular, and that's nice. But how much will people actually get a philosophical understanding that this particular Krishna is such a sweet character, is the person who I am supposed to take shelter of? That understanding will not come. It's good that instead of watching some Spider-Man and Batman, children are watching Krishna. That's nice. But after all, what is that inside? It's going to be something amazing. Why? Understand that this Krishna is the Supreme Lord. When you understand the tattva, then Krishna Lila becomes amazing. It simply becomes amazing. So in the Markandeya Rishi's prayer, there is a very beautiful Balamukhi Stotra. So he has expanded that elsewhere in the Brahmanda Purana. So he describes how Krishna performs in sweet pastimes.
भुक्त्वा यथेष्टं कपटेन सुप्तं बालं मुकुन्दं मनसा स्मरामि शिखे निदयत्य
स्मॉल स्मॉल पॉट्स
पयोलघी मदर यशोदा हैज पुट कर्ड बटर मिल्क एंड देन आफ्टर पुटिंग इट इन ऑल द पॉट बहिर्कटायां She goes out. Rajana Vikayam. Rajeshwari. Madhashwara. She goes out. So when the Madhurina's pastimes are being described, at that time Raja Radharani is referred to as Rajeshwari. When the Vatsalya's pastimes are described, then Ishudamani is described as Rajeshwari or Rajana Vikayam. So Madhashwara has put Krishna to sleep. And then she goes out. And as soon as Madhashwara goes out, Krishna quickly wakes up. He will Rukhtva Yatheshtam. He eats as good as he wants. And then Kapatena Suptam. He pretends to go to sleep after that. And then Madhavishala comes back. And then she says, Krishna is sleeping nice, but she's anxious. Because Krishna waking up, see Krishna crying. Krishna is peacefully sleeping. Kapatena sleep. And then she looks at the pots, and all the pots are empty. She says, who has done this? She looks around, nobody is there, the door was locked. She looks at Krishna. Krishna is very expert at acting when he wants to act. So he says, Krishna, Krishna, did you steal the butter? Krishna rubs his head. What? Did you steal the butter? Butter? I just woke up. And Mother Yashoda gets bewildered. So now, if there in that pastime, Krishna exhibits the Vishwarup. You know, all the butter is inside him only. From where did he steal? So, in the pastime when Krishna wants to exhibit his sweetness, what he does is, he covers his greatness. And so, if we don't understand Krishna's position as God, then we think just a mischievous child. Why are some people so madly in love with him? In the Western religious tradition, Judeo-Christian tradition, they have the idea of God as a very stern person who sits in the cloud and throws down thunderbolts in the sinful. And then people go charging down to hell. And when these people came to India, and they went to Mathura, and they saw all these beautiful pictures of Krishna with butter on his mouth and hand in the butter pot. They said, who is this? This is God. This is God. What is he doing? Stealing butter. They got intellectual short circuit.
didn't know what to make of it.
So why? Because, you know, without understanding the position of a person, if you try to understand his activities, you will misunderstand. Just like if there's a tribal in a village, tribal in a forest, he's never seen a surgery. And he comes to a hospital where there's an operating theater. And in the operating theater, he sees a person who is fast asleep. And then he's taken by this person in a white dress. And then he takes out a knife and starts cutting his. Hey, stop, you're killing him, stop, you're killing him. Then nobody pays attention, get out. And then he thinks, okay, at least I'll go and tell the relatives. So he goes and tells the relatives, this person is killing your relative, he's killing your relative. Just stop him. And then he goes to that person. And this relative is so chastising that person who's apparently killed him. He goes and gives him a nice payment. He says, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You are crazy. So, you know, what is the problem? He's observing all the activity, but without knowing the position. So like that, you know, many times materialistic people, or people who don't know about Krishna, they think Krishna is dancing with the gopis at night. No, Krishna, he is in what modern times they call a casanova, the one who moves around with many, many girls. And then he says, you know, you see, this is the kind of person you worship as God. He says, you know, he's immoral, this is immoral. And what makes them further, they can't understand it is, this person is God, and he is doing so many sensitive activities, and those who claim to be his devotees, they are giving up those activities. So, it just can't make any sense about it. So, actually, the whole problem is that Krishna is a Rasaraj. If you don't understand the Tattva, then if you try to understand the Leela, then it becomes very confusing. And that's why something will connect from the Tattva point of view. But as Vaishnava, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we also have to see whether something is true from the Rasa point of view. So, we conclude with this one important point. Now, conversation with Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Ramananda Rai discussing, so then Prabhupada says, the gopis never refer to Krishna as Rukmini Ramana. Now from the Tattva mind, Krishna is the Lord of Rukmini. You can refer to him as Rukmini Ramana, but they never refer to him because that is the Rasavas. So on this own, you know, the Vedic culture is so broad that if somebody calls God by Allah Akbar, it's a very good one, calling out God's name. But then in Bhakti Sanatana Thakur's time, there are some people who were still chanting, not just Allah Akbar, they were chanting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's names, Krishna's name, Nitai Gaur Rajesham, Bhaja Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And they were chastising it. This is nonsense. Now why is that? Because at a particular level, if somebody is addressing God, that is fine. From the Tattva point of view, that is good. But what is the problem with Nitai Gaur Rajesham? Because there is Rasabhas over there. What is the Rasabhas? Ananda Damachapu describes that every evening when Krishna comes back from the forest, at that time, all the Vrajavasis are waiting, they are dying practically to see Krishna. So all the elderly Vrajavasis, they come out at the outskirts of the village. Okay, when is Kanha coming? When is Kanha coming? And all the young yogis, because of the culture, they cannot come out. So they go up on the terrace. And from the Chamudana, they are all, when is Krishna? When is Krishna coming? And finally, they see a huge dust cloud coming. And after the dust cloud, first all the cows come. And behind them, all the gopas. And at the end, there is Balram and there is Krishna. So there is Balram and Krishna. Krishna comes last because he wants to make sure that not a single calf is left behind. But he has another more private reason why he comes last. And as Krishna starts coming into Vrindavan, he starts walking very slowly. And Balram says, hey Krishna, come quickly, you have to go home, I am hungry. You know, we'll go take bath. Krishna says, I am very tired. You go ahead, I'll come slowly. Actually, the Balram is Dauji, the big brother. So, you know, in Balramji's presence, Krishna feels shy to look at the gopis. And he feels shy that the gopis are looking at him. So, he says, you go ahead, I'm tired, I'll come slowly. And as soon as Balramji goes away, Krishna feels liberated. And then, after the gopis offer all the love of their hearts through their eyes to Krishna. Krishna receives their love and he offers their love back. Krishna looks at every one of the gopis.
And he looks at every one of the gopis, all the innermost desires of the heart of the devotee and the Lord are fulfilled. And then, after what seems to be like an infinity of time, Krishna looks at all the gopis. For the gopis, it is not infinity. It's Dhruti Yoga. It appears very small. And Krishna goes inside. So, when we say Nitai Gaura Radhesha, we are putting Balaramji with Radharani Krishna. There is Nitai Gaura Radhesha. So, there is Rasavas. So, when Balaramji is, that's why when we have altar, we have separate altars. Balaramji is never on the altar where Radhani is there. So, this was Bhakti Sanskrit's point. Now, Swami means, they are chanting the names of God. What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that from the Tattva point of view. But from the Rasa point of view, you know, Krishna is not, there is Rasavas. And that's why Krishna doesn't, Bhakti Sanskrit would not like that. He strongly condemned that. So, like this, the Bhagavatam, starting with the tattva which is given in the preliminary canto, it takes us higher and higher in tattva and ultimately enables us to fulfill the purpose which it started. Now what is it? First Bhagavatam says, what are you going to do?
Dhimani,
dhima janma dhyasyata. But what is the purpose of that? That's the first verse. But what is the purpose of that dhimani? That is described. First purpose is tapatrayonmulanam. That is described in the second verse. But tapatrayonmulanam becoming free from materialism. But a higher purpose of the Bhagavatam is the third verse. That is, Muhur Aho Rasika Dvibhavukaha Pibata Bhagavatam Rasa Anayam. So this word Rasa. So if you understand the Tattva, there is Tapatrayon Moolanam. If you understand that God is the Lord and I am the servant, there will be liberation from materialism. But beyond that, if you want to experience higher Rasa, then it will become a Rasika. So, that's why I say, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamadayam. So, the first nine cantos help us to establish Tattva. By which there is Tapatrayon Moolanam. And the tenth canto enables us to Muhur Aho Rasika Dvibhavukaha. Become a Rasika. And bring the Rasa, Anishna Raksa of the intimate love between Krishna and the devotees, especially the Vajrasis. And as the gopis say, what is the nature of this Rasa? Not in the gopis say, even the Bhagavatam tells us, Yatrasamdhrutasya na nyatrasyadhrutipochit. Once we get a taste for this rasa, the taste for all of the rasas disappear. And then we can steadily and joyfully march back to our eternal homes where we can eternally delight in the rasa. You know, there is one sagar, this bhava sagar which you want to cross over. But there is another sagar that is bhakti rasamdhrutasya which you don't want to cross over. You want to drown into that. The mistake of the Mayavadis is they want to cross over Bhava Sagar and they want to cross over Bhakti Sagar.
And after they cross over, they have nothing to do. And they get bored, but they have missed the Bhakti Sagar, they come back to Bhava Sagar again. But as devotees, you want to drown in
the rasa of bhakti. And that is what I think blessing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote by giving to us a simple process of chanting the holy names and sharing this chanting to as many people as we can. Quickly summarize. We started by discussing about the six kinds of avataras. People discuss five. We discuss about the Shaktya avatar today. So, we discuss about how the Purusha avataras, they permeate and maintain the material world. And then we have discussed about their maintenance is not for the purpose of comfort in this world. Their maintenance is for turning back to the spiritual world. So, design has to be evaluated and always in connection with the purpose. Then we discussed about the Manvantara avataras who also maintain the order. To some extent, and Guna avataras who maintain, especially Vishnu who maintains the balance between creation and destruction. And then we discussed about Yuga avataras, especially Inda avatars, and how there are various avataras. Rama and Narasimha are the Parasta, and Krishna is the highest. He's not just Advaya Jnanatattva, he's Advaya Rasatattva, Khilasamrita. And then we discussed how Brahmacharya has differentiated in certain levels of rasa so that when there is no rasavas, rather there is the highest experience of rasa. Thank you very much. Yatra Shri Bhagavatam Ki Shri Prabhupada Ki Gaur Bhakta Vrindati Gaur Premanande.